morning. Welcome to Susie and Mary. Hi, Paula. I see the screen for Jim and Don, but I see no Jim and Don, just a beautiful fireplace. Judy, Graham, hello, Del. Oh, and granddaughter. Hi, Bert. Hi, Robert. Everybody.
Good morning, Katie. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. The words that call us into worship this morning come from the Reverend Karen Johnson. Ancestors who spoke with bravest fire, lend us your senses that we may know another world is on her way, breathed into life with our participation in her creation. Forebears who led the way were where there was at first no way. Lend us your persistence, your temerity, your assurance that the moral arc of the universe does indeed bend toward justice. Ones who went before us, sacrificing for a future not your own, help us to give of ourselves that the common stones in our hands today might be cathedrals of compassion today, halls of restorative justice tomorrow, sheltering walls of beloved community the day after. It is Sunday morning, the day we gather. Let us be thankful and full of praise to be in the community of those who came before, yet are ever in our midst. I am so happy to be gathered with this congregation full of creative, beautiful, and caring people. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. In these tender times where we are experiencing trauma, confusion, and hope for a more just world, it is such a balm when we are here together as we respond to the world's heartache with our liberal religious values. Our determination to create and uphold community is an essential gift in times of trouble and strife. As Unitarian Universalists, we celebrate our radical roots and history as self-motivated spiritual people who think for ourselves and recognize that personal experience influences our beliefs more than anything. The covenant we share gives rise to becoming people of love and trust. Leading our service with me is our member, Cheryl Guy, who will offer our homily today. As we worship, defined as shaping things of worth, we create community and feel how good it is to be together.
Joseph Priestley, maverick scientist Unitarian. Sometimes we take air for granted, not dwelling much on its discovery, but the man given credit for its invention is Joseph Priestley. Priestley's story blends science, faith, and revolution. Think brilliant Energizer Bunny with mega attitude. He regularly discussed and debated, not only with other scientists, but also with natural philosophers, religious leaders, and politicians, much like cultural petri dishes. Joseph was born in 1733 in Fieldhead, England, into a large family of religious nonconformists, dissenters, in the battle with the Church of England. When his mother died, he was shipped off to relatives for his education. This rigorous instruction, including 6 new languages and his offensive maverick theories on the divinity of Jesus Christ, eventually earned him a preaching position in a small congregation, where he also started a small boys' school. Here he published his first book, The Rudiments of English Grammar, an innovative first step to map the structure of the English language rather than the dead languages he had learned, Latin and Greek, which he considered impractical for modern civilization. Priestley earned enough money to buy his first electricity machine, supporting his newfound love of electricity, connecting him to Benjamin Franklin, then the world's most celebrated electrician. Franklin and his London coffeehouse cronies, the Honest Whigs, hired Priestley to write The History of Electricity, a 700-page book, which remained the principal electricity text for nearly 100 years and part of Yale's curriculum. He also produced more than 50 books and pamphlets on politics, education, and faith. So the mystery of Priestley is not only how he hit upon so many very important ideas in such a short time, but how they were scattered across so many fields. In this new age of enlightenment, or reason sometimes it's called, he alone was a transformative figure. He alone was a transformative figure in 4 fields: electricity, chemistry, faith, and politics. Living near a brewery in 1767, Joseph discovered its fermenting vats producing what he called fixed air, carbon dioxide, and learned to infuse it into water, creating seltzer or fizzy water, which you may recognize today as Schweppes. Now, see if you can see the... So Schweppes actually stole Joseph's idea and patented it 15 years later. Joseph later described his soda water epiphany as his happiest discovery, and his continued work also led him to the discovery of carbon monoxide. By 1774, Joseph's experiments with air led him to discover that ordinary atmosphere sustaining Earth's life could be improved. There was an air purer than common air. 2 billion years after cyanobacteria began pumping our oxygen and our atmosphere full of the stuff, Joseph had discovered O2, oxygen. During this time, Ben Franklin was getting involved in American unrest and urged Priestley's written support for American dissension, which Joseph kept fairly quiet, since the idea of revolution did not sit well with his own patron, a member of the nervous British Parliament. However, Joseph was less successful at subduing his religious views, and in 1774 assisted a friend in founding the first official Unitarian denomination, openly denying the divinity of Jesus Christ and the Trinity's existence. He again integrated his scientific, religious, and political values, called Enlightenment science, the physical proof and embodiment of God's work here on earth. Priestley was committed and a committed empiricist, yet his life was equally grounded in a deep and abiding faith in God, a very revolutionary combination at that time. 3 related controversies led to Priestley's exile from England in the 1780s. First, he published The History of the Corruption of Christianity, which destroyed all of the magic and mysticism of the church. He remained a believer in rational Christianity. Priestley's second action was a rallying cry for the Unitarian movement, publishing a pamphlet called The Importance and Extent of Free Inquiry. And the last straw was his support of the French Revolution, seeing it as enlightened progress of thought. This incited nervous British mobs to burn down both his home and his lab in 1791, sending him into hiding and exile, which President John Adams compared to similar persecutions of Socrates. By 1794, Joseph and his wife Mary sailed for America, settling in Philadelphia. Joseph enjoyed getting to know President Washington, Benjamin Rush, and James Watt, and returning to the pulpit, delivering sermons at the Universalist Church. His radical sermons, titled Discourses on the Evidences of Divine Revelation, earned Priestley the reputation as probably the most controversial religious figure of the age. There was already no real rival in terms of scientific achievement, and as a theologian, he now had no American peers. Thomas Jefferson was also inspired to view politics through the eyes of this enlightened rationalist thinker, planning a curriculum for a new university that would be a key part of his intellectual legacy. Thomas Jefferson proclaimed that Priestley's life was one of the few precious to mankind. He acknowledged that Priestley refused to compartmentalize science, faith, and politics, and he believed that all ideas should be open to debate and discussion, that the world could change if the light of reason were allowed to shine upon it. Decades after Priestley's death in 1804 and his burial in Pennsylvania, Adams wrote to Jefferson about Joseph. "This great, excellent, and extraordinary man, whom I sincerely loved, esteemed, and respected, was really a phenomenon, a comet in our system." So, for you to take a breath of air, have a sip of Schweppes, enjoy discussion and debating our modern condition with others. Thank you, Joseph Priestley.